This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up a bit later on the Junks, actually in about 25 minutes, Nick Dowd from your Washington Capitals. He will join us at 8:25. And Tony Skin, head coach of the George Mason Patriots Hoops program, he'll be in studio with us at 9 a.m. So lots of guests upcoming. Believe joining us right now on the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. It's Tom Lavero, Washington Times columnist. I'm 99.8% sure he's calling us from some oceanfront spot in Florida. I hope I'm correct with that, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing okay, boys. I'm calling you from the Lavero Southern Compound, the Winter Compound here in Miramar Beach, Florida, home of Jack Del Rio.
So where is that? Good. What is that near?
That's in the Panhandle, about an hour east of Pensacola.
Okay, gotcha.
So is this a permanent Lavero Compound? Is this a rental? Can you give us some skinny on that?
No, it's just a rental, but every January and February for the past 5 or 6 years, I head south.
Mm-hmm. You're a snowbird. Very good.
Well, that's smart. It sucks up here.
So, Barry Sveluga wrote a nice column about the learners and how they're not for sale anymore. And I guess the essence is you kind of, at the end of the day, have a bone to pick with sort of the idea that they're still, like, going to even be competitive at all, that they're not spending money, they have an ownership issue. And is your contention, Tom, that they're definitely still for sale because they're not spending money, or that they got an ownership problem?
Well, they have an ownership problem. I don't think they're on the market for sale, but I think if somebody came along with the right price, they would be. But, you know, try to buy a box of paperclip from the learners. It's a difficult task to buy anything from them. So it's always going to be a difficult process. So I don't think they're for sale right now. And surprisingly, when they were for sale, there weren't any names that surfaced except for Ted Leonsis.
Right, right.
And so I don't understand why that is, and that still remains the case. So I don't think they're for sale anymore. My issue is the ownership, particularly this facade that they put up, that they're willing to put up the money. All Mike Rizzo has to do is ask. That's a joke.
Yeah, I saw this on Twitter yesterday, and you can fill us in. The Christian Walker story, that Rizzo was about to sign him and then called Lerner. What's the story there?
Well, you know, Mark Lerner has pledged in a 2023 interview with Dan Coco that anytime Mike needs a resource, all he's got to do is ask. Well, according to my sources, that, when it came time to give Walker a 3-year deal for $60 million, that the learners balked.
Mm-hmm.
They said no. They didn't want to go the years.
So they wanted to go maybe 1 year or two, but not three.
Yeah, 3 years.
3 years.
I mean, $60 million, that over 3 years, $20 million a year, that is not
nothing.
A mega signing.
Right.
Do they have, I don't even know, when I think about it off the top of my head, now that they've kind of gotten rid of Corbin and these other guys, who's their highest salary guy?
It's Lowe.
Which is?
I'm guessing, I mean, Tom, you might know better than me, but I think Nate Lowe, who they signed from the Rangers.
What's he making?
I think he's their highest ranking or highest salary per year.
Yeah, I think on the active roster.
Yeah.
You know, they're still carrying Stras.
Right,
And they're still paying deferred payments on Scherzer and all that. But every team has that kind of situation. Yeah, I mean, they have a roster that, as of last week, had a $60 million payroll.
Lowe's at $10.3 million.
There you go.
Looks so, like his okay, number. So Walker would have been by far their highest paid guy, like double.
Yes.
The next closest guy, and they drew the line on that. Yeah.
The front office was looking to add 60 home runs to this lineup this year between, you know, DH and first base. And, you know, Walker was a guy who in the past 2 years hit almost 60 home runs.
Right.
In the past 2 years. Now, Nate Lowe was a great trade by Rizzo. He's a good first baseman. He has some pop, but he's not Christian Walker. He's not what they originally wanted.
So, Tom, if you're a Nats fan heading into the season, how do you deal with the fact that just in your own division, you've got the Mets with the biggest payroll in the league, you've got the Phillies with the top four payroll, and you have a Braves team that has a top 10 payroll, and the Nats are way behind them.
They can't compete.
When it comes to spending. Like, if you're a Nats fan, you're basically just, you're going to Nats Park for entertainment, obviously, and to watch baseball, but you don't have a realistic shot at competing in the division, right?
No. Look, they have a lot of good young players. There's reason to be excited about that. But, the front office wanted last year and this year to add some veterans mixed in with those young kids. Because veterans who will be here more than 1 year.
Right.
Because a veteran presence in the clubhouse is important for the development of these young players. Maybe if they had a veteran presence who was there for more than a cup of coffee last year, your star all-star shortstop isn't in a casino at 8 in the morning on a day game in Chicago gambling.
So these teams that have gone this route before where they've kind of bottomed out, they're loaded up on prospects, the Astros come to mind, I don't know. I'm sure you can name a few other instances. Could the learners argue that they don't really have to like gradually get better? They just have to wait for the young guys to be ready, and then they'll the wins will come like almost like right away. Like you don't have to gradually get there.
But that ignores the player development part. Part of their player development plan is to, like I said, to surround all these young players with a couple of veterans.
Mm-hmm.
Look, baseball, I think more than any other sport, the clubhouse has a big influence on how the team runs. Okay, I mean, the managers and the coaches certainly have a strong influence, but inside the clubhouse, there's a lot of business conducted. And, the front office felt that it was important to mix in with these young players, you know, some veterans as part of that development. Plus, they wanted these kids playing meaningful games in September. You know, let's say they're 5 games out of a wild card in September. I mean, then you're playing meaningful games. That is part of player development, too, is to show them what it means to be playing in pennant race Major League Baseball games. Here's the other thing. We know with the owners, that the clock is ticking on all these young players the minute they get to the major leagues.
Yeah.
You have a window of opportunity. You know, it may be 6 years, but, you know, James Woods, it's now 1 year closer to free agency. You know, Dylan Cruz, 1 year closer to free agency. We know that because they just don't sign their players to long-term contracts. So there's a window of opportunity with these young players, and to waste it on, you know, continued, you know, frugality, I think is foolish.
I mean, after they win the World Series, I'll toss 2020 out, all right, the COVID year, because they only played 60 games, and that's made some trades.
Right.
But 21, through 24. So those four seasons, they've only improved by 6 wins. So Eric's talking about gradually getting better. Okay, I guess technically you're gradually getting better.
1.5 wins per season?
Yeah, no, I'm not suggesting they are gradually getting
better.
No,
I understand what you're saying. I'm agreeing with you. Because they're not. I don't think they are gradually getting better. Now, they did bring up some of these younger guys like Cruz and Wood.
Seems like they've already written off this year.
You say they wanted to add a couple of big bat veterans. Lowe and Bell just aren't those guys. I mean, they're going to combine for maybe 35 or 40 homers, not 60. So
right.
I think fans are just very frustrated that they're not getting better quicker, because it's been basically a 5-year rebuild, and it looks like, based on what they added, it's going to be a 6-year rebuild, and who knows after that.
Yeah. Again, I think it's frustrating. The big takeaway should be for me is that the front office wanted to build a team that the owners wouldn't let them build.
Yeah.
And that's never good.
And you have that confirmed, the Walker story. That's locked. That's a fact.
Yes, I do. Now, I mean, you know, is anyone from the Nationals going to come forward and say, yes, that's true? No.
Yeah.
But it's been out there for 2 days, and nobody from the team has refuted it.
Mm-hmm. Talking to Tom Lavero about the state of the Nationals, one of the other things that has been happening, and I wonder how the Nationals feel about this and the ownership's how the owners feel about it, is the attendance has gone down. You know, now when they were winning, you had, you know, average attendance, 31,000, 32,000, that sort of thing. It's dwindled to 24,000. And I got to believe it's going to be even lower this year based on the lack of activity in the offseason.
You know, I'm surprised it's as high as it's been. I give credit to the fans. They're still showing up. I thought it would even be lower. You know, the according to my sources, the learners claim they're losing $100 million a year. Mm-hmm. On this team. I find that difficult to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But that's their claim. Look, I know that they're in the real estate business, commercial real estate business, and that's a real tough business to be in right now. I mean, that's been crashing and continues to crash. And
yeah, it has been for 5 years.
But didn't you say that their net worth somehow has still gone up significantly?
I didn't say that. No. I don't know if it did or not.
Okay.
My point is they're still in the baseball business. If you're going to own a team, operate it like a baseball team. You know, not like a vacant office building in the district.
Mm-hmm.
So, Tom, in your article, you point out that there's a rift between Mark Lerner, who wants to hang on to the team, and then other family members who want to sell the team. Do you have any more insight on that? Is it just him against 3 or 4 other members of the family that want to sell and he doesn't? He's just the lone holdout?
It's not like a bad blood rift, but mm-hmm. there is a disagreement.
Mm-hmm.
Mark does not want to sell the team. I think the two brothers-in-laws would sell the team, and I think Mark's sister, as I understand it, you know, are siding with Mark at this point. Again, I think if somebody came along with the right price, that could change. But no one seems to be willing to do that, and the right price for the learners is probably far more than what they would actually sell for.
So if the price was – if the certain price that Mark Lerner is looking for was offered, do you think he would sell it?
I think it would be hard for them not to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is there any chance that – you know, because last year the Kansas City Royals were a huge surprise because they were a team that were, you know, finishing 4th, 5th in their division – and then all of a sudden, some of the young players, like the Bobby Witt Juniors of the world, just turned into superstars, and they added some other guys, and they get to the playoffs. So they had a 30-win difference from 23 to 24. Now, I know that's not going to happen with the Nats, but is there any chance that some of these younger guys can blossom a little earlier and they could be 10 wins better than last year? Any chance of that?
Yeah, there's a chance. Again, they've done a good job of developing players. They have some good young pitchers and good young position players, and there's reason to be excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
But unlike Kansas City, they have to play the Mets, the Phillies, and the Braves.
That's true.
What, you know,
Is it 42 times?
Yeah. Over the course of a season.
Right.
You know, the Royals aren't doing that.
That's true.
So that's the big difference right there. Look, again, there will be a lot to be interested and excited about. But I think if you're a fan, you're getting shortchanged by your owners.
Well, I think they just don't want that in between. And I don't know that it's possible, but it sounds like they're not interested in winning 74 games. Like, they'd rather just win 65 and then wait until their young players are more ready and then go all in. So they've already decided they're not going to win anything this year.
Get better draft picks.
Yeah, they just already decided they're not going to be good enough this year, so I'm not going to waste any money. And, you know, that it probably is unfair to the fans. But, right? I mean, that's kind of how I see what their perception.
But that's not what the front office wants to do. So then,
of course,
I mean, when you have a difference between the ownership and the front office, that's never a good situation for any team that you follow.
Yeah.
Tommy, thanks as always for the time. Thanks for checking in from the Lavero Southern Compound. You're winning at life because the high in Miramar today, 70 degrees. The high here in D.C., 31 degrees. So advantage, Tom Lavero.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, boys.
Yep.
All right, buddy.
That's Tom Lavero, Washington Times columnist. Don't forget, coming up later on the show, Nick Dowd will join us at 8:25 from the Washington Capitals. And Tony Skin, head coach at George Mason, he'll be in studio with us at 9 a.m.